PFW, PFW, Washington.
Good evening. My name's Garland Nixon, and welcome to News Views. You're listening to WPFW 89.3 FM here in Washington, D.C., and I'm on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. We talk about a lot of interesting things. We have great guests. We put a panel together every now and then, but most importantly, the views part of News Views is about your views. We get you to call in. We talk about some of the current issues going on, and you call in and you tell us what you think. And that's important here at WPFW. So we got plenty to talk about today. I got a couple of important things to talk about. One just kind of came to mind. You know, I'm watching TV here over the last few days, and I've been seeing advertisements for a certain movie, and I've been seeing segments on shows about a certain movie, and it brought something to mind. The Help, The Butler, two movies I'm sure you're familiar with. The Butler is the big one now, where a black man is a butler. Somewhat true story. It's a true story where a black man was a butler in the White House through many presidents. The last one was The Help. We can go back to Driving Miss Daisy. Or we can go back all the way back to full circle to where it started back in the 20s and 30s and 40s when films first started. And black people were only allowed to be in movies as the help. So I've asked some friends of mine, what do you think of this? You know, before I would voice my opinion. And wouldn't you know it, things are going downhill. There goes the neighborhood. One, Mark Levine has walked in. And Mark, we're talking about, we got a couple of things to talk about and plenty to talk about the second half and recommendations for the president, things of that nature. But I was in a conversation that drove me to the point where I had to talk about this subject. You're seeing the advertisements for The Butler. For The Help.
I have. Actually, I want to see that. I haven't seen it yet.
The Help. And as I was saying a moment ago, so I can bring you up to speed. It takes me back to the early times in movies in Hollywood when black people could only be on movies as the help. And at the time,
there was a miniseries called Back Something at the White House. You remember that? It was like 20 years ago, 30 years ago. They did this whole thing on mostly, I think they were maybe all African American maids and so forth for various presidents.
A story that few people know because very few, if anybody knows it. Yeah, a lot of people don't know this, but Paul Robeson Jr., the son of Paul Robeson, was my mentor for some years, and we talked almost daily, and he told me a lot of things that happened over the course of his father's life. One of the things that he told me was that in the early 40s, Paul Robeson was approached by he was at that time a huge star worldwide, you know, Othello, the whole nine lines. Okay. So this man was a huge star. So Hollywood said, "Hey, you know, we need to, you know, this guy's going to make us a lot of money." So they went to Paul Robeson and they offered him, you know, like a $200,000 check in the 40s. They offered this man, you know, basically more money than anybody had been offered before. This humongous, the equivalent of, you know, one of those $20 million contracts, you know, per movie that they give to the big stars now. That was the equivalent. But they said the stipulation was he would be the star of the movie. He would sing. He would do all the things that he was so good at. But he would have to play the role of a maid or butler or some other subservient black person. And he tore the check up and threw it in the trash and said, "I will not do this. I will not send the message to my people that this is their place. I will not send the message to America. I don't want white and black people looking at me."
Americans, black, whites, all of them are treating immigrant workers in this country. Same dynamic. And I think we need to take a very close look at that also.
Thank you very much,
Susan. Thank you, Keith.
Hey, let me just say this. Yeah, that's what I love about WPFW. You know, we've gotten these diverse comments, brilliant, absolutely brilliant perspectives from these callers. You know, things that I would have never thought of that you might not have thought of. I mean, this is
let me ask you a question.
And we got plenty more there.
We'll get to them in just 1 second.
Acoma next.
And I've seen The Help, and I haven't seen The Butler. Recently, really just like a couple months ago, I decided to rent a Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. It was Sidney Poitier. It won the Best Picture, and it was a classic film.
Yep.
And I wanted to see this classic film. So a couple months, I stuck it in. I hated it. Have you seen Guess Who's Coming to Dinner?
It's been so long.
Let me tell you the plot. So Sidney Poitier comes.
Oh, I know the plot. Well, and he's going the white girl brings.
But here's the thing that I didn't know about the movie. I knew, white girl brings the black man to dinner. She wants to marry him. That's the plot. He's perfect. He's like he's won a Nobel Prize.
The guy
is not an ordinary black person. He is the smartest man in America, and he saves the poor, and he's she brings home the Messiah.
Right. He's not your average middle class working person.
He's not even an educated black man. Right. He is like the best educated man in America.
Right.
And it was so crazy to watch this movie showing not an average black person
or even an educated
black person, but he was absolutely Mr. Perfect. And then it was like, and they were being so liberal to accept Mr. Perfect into their homes. And I'm like, that's not liberal. The guy is like, he saved lives and I don't know. I hated the film because to me, he was not subservient. He was so perfect that Jesus couldn't live up to Sidney Poitier.
Right.
And Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. And so I hated that movie, not because he was subservient, because he was so perfect as to not at all be realistic.
And it's funny because I hear you, in a kind of almost paradoxical kind of way.
Yeah.
The fact that they were saying they were some kind of heroes because they accepted Mr. Right, as opposed to saying,
absolutely perfect.
About? Yeah.
That movie bothered me.
Phones lighting up. We got people who got to set me and you and I both straight, Mark, which is funny. Let me say this, which is funny. I just came back from Maine. I was in Maine. I was in I was in Newport, Rhode Island. Trust me, I didn't see a lot of black people in Newport, Rhode Island, and even fewer in Maine. But the people were very nice.
They are very nice.
The New Englanders are very nice. You know what I noticed, Mark? It's obvious that they never had slavery there.
Certainly not in Rhode Island.
Yeah, because the attitudes are far different than they are.
Rhode Island is what's known as an island of tolerance. I mean, that's why the state was started.
It reminded me that I still live in the South, because those people were far more advanced in the on the
They're
issue
also the
of,
first to accept Jews. Newport, Rhode Island, the oldest synagogue in the United States is in Newport, Rhode Island, because Rhode Island, Roger Williams, was tolerant of people of different religions, and so that was the first place where Jews were allowed to have their own synagogue.
So next we're going to Acoma, The Help, The Butler, Driving Miss Daisy. Where are you?
Well, you know what, gentlemen, I'm thank you for taking this call. You know, this is a topic that could a week-long radio seminar.
That's true.
This topic. But let me tell you, it's interesting because I'm somewhat where you are, Mr. Nixon. I've not seen any of the movies. I've seen the trailers from those same, from the movies you mentioned. And I'm one, too, who doesn't care for them, wish they never were made. Because here's the thing. I don't think that it makes any sense to think that we can educate our generations from the platform of what can be arguably called art. Movies are art, and sometimes art misses the point. Sometimes it hits the point that's subjective. But what's also interesting is how people of European descent in this country have these opinions that they have as it pertains to the historical factuality or non-factuality of the movie depictions, while at the same time, there are never any movies made showing the opposite direction, if you will, where there is the inner workings of these same European people in these same environments are showing it from their point of view.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they're always acting like African American people always got so much to learn from so much. They have more to learn than we do, because the one thing that is undeniable about us even being here, why I'm even on this phone with you today, is because somebody and our families were probably victimized by the same society that we want to talk about from some historical context.
Mm-hmm.
So because that is the case, when are the movies going to get made showing the other side of the equation, if you will, the people who brought us here, showing them learning something from their actions and how it would affect them from the inside out, if you will, from a social perspective, because I'm sure they're not so inhumane until they don't have anything to learn from these from the reality of what has been this country's history. So these movies to me are so irresponsible because, you know, like you were talking about, your co-host there was talking about the factuality from a historical perspective. Why did they have to choose to be inaccurate about facts as it pertains to the Panthers? Because if you want to get to the nuts and bolts of it, the only thing the Panthers was trying to do was bring up the community in a way that wasn't happening to that point, feeding children in schools and things of that nature.
And what you never see, you never see anything about COINTELPRO, which was a government program, which participated in assassinations, misinformation, blackmail of the civil rights movement. So we can see black people serving somebody, you know, breakfast and washing their dishes, but we don't see the reality that the federal government itself victimized black people and did everything they could.
It used to be a good movie on J. Edgar Hoover.
And you made a great point with the idea that there's still, you can see some of these depictions with new immigrants come into this country, which is more the reason why there needs to be some films made that delves into the psychology behind these people who refuse to change.
The numbers
act as if we have so much to learn.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I just love this. We get some brilliant callers, and this is great.
See, I think
let me give out the number again.
The psychology of the race.
We're our lines are being packed, but we got a little openings here and there. 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. The help. Driving Miss Daisy.
Did you see
I don't know nothing about birthing no babies, Mark.
That's Gone with the Wind. Did you see The Color Purple? Alice Walker.
Yes, I did. That was a great movie.
So that movie you liked.
It was a great. Yeah, it was a good. I enjoyed it because
the black characters are strong, but they're in subservient roles.
Yes, I enjoyed the movie from the perspective of art. I thought it was a good movie, but I was younger when that came out.
But this movie comes off of a book written by a celebrated and very good black author.
Yeah,
it's from the African American perspective, and the characters are strong. But they're in a subservient role because it's set in a time when blacks are in a subservient role.
Look.
I thought that was a good movie, too.
But I still don't like it. And, you know, one of the things about it was, okay, you know, the young black people need to see this and blah, 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 right? Okay. I don't know. My daughter's 24, as you know. She just graduated from college a couple months ago.
Congratulations.
And when I was a young little teeny fellow, I was pretty poor. An interesting lifestyle. By the time I, you know, got to be in my teens, I was in pretty good shape. Finally, my family had come around a lot and were in pretty good shape. But when I was born, I kind of went from rags to the middle class kind of thing. You know, mm-hmm. I was in poverty.
That was easier to do several decades ago.
Yeah, you're right. It's impossible now. My daughter never. And when I was a little kid, I saw the white kids in middle class, and me and the other black kids that I knew were in poverty. That was the role I saw. Okay. My daughter never saw her live that kind of thing. She was never in poverty. She had, you know, whatever. She had good stuff, and she went to good schools, and she got 16, and she got a car, and the things that the white kids got when I was a little that the black kids never got, okay? Trips, the whole nine yards. And when she got out of school, like the white kids did when I was little, and few of the black kids here and there, those of us who were lucky enough, and they still had basic educational opportunity grants back then until Reagan killed them, so, you know, we could go basically almost for free. When I look at her life and who she is and what she is, I don't want her even, she can do whatever she wants, of course, but I'm happier if she doesn't see that image of black people.
Really?
If she moves forward in her life and just says, look, this is
you
where
can't
I'm going.
Appreciate
that's where
you
been.
Are if you don't know where you've been.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, every April, and the Jewish people have been doing this for 3,000 years, we have a Passover Seder where we say, we were slaves in Egypt. We remember something that happened 3,000 years ago.
And I agree with that.
So my point is they're middle-class kids, white, black, there's American kids born today to privilege who have no idea what it's like to not be of privilege and don't appreciate what they've got because they don't know where they've been. I think your daughter should know your history. I think that your daughter should go to a museum where she learns about slavery. I think that the worst thing in the world would be an upper-middle-class black kid not knowing what Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks and all of those leaders did to bring the freedom that she's got today.
Those are good points, but keep in mind what I'm doing here, Mark, too, and that is I'm throwing out thoughts. Because I agree, certainly. You know, I've taken her to Memphis to the African American Museum.
We went
to
Martin Luther King's killed.
Yeah, we went to the room where Martin Luther was. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. And while we were there, guess what else we did? We went over to Graceland, to Elvis's place, a racist guy. But we went all through Graceland and we looked at Elvis's place. You know what I mean? I tried to expose her.
I've never been to Graceland.
I tried to expose her to broad perspectives.
Okay.
You know, so yeah, you know, but I'm just throwing stuff out there. Because these are some feelings I have, and I don't necessarily understand them.
Let me ask you one more question.
Well, let's go to TESPA, and we'll hit TESPA real quick because we're going to have to go at 6:30. We're going to have to go away for a minute, but we got other people on the line. We got Ike, we got Alec, we got Byron, and we'll be right back to you. Okay, we'll be TESPA.
Good evening, my friend.
Good evening. Unfortunately, we only got about a minute. We're going to break, but fire away.
Okay, right away. Movies are the biggest opinion makers in United States and all around the world. Look, movies make you and break you. African Americans are not out of the former situation yet. And negative, subservient roles in movies only help in perpetuating the former situation. What we need to show younger people these days is the brain surgeon at John Hopkins, the black brain
Barack
surgeon.
Obama.
Oh, that's what the Cosby Show did in the 80s. Showed professional black people.
And you see, look, long time ago in early 1980s, I went to the movies. I'm not a movie fan. I went to see The Color Purple, and I came out so happy. Because the role she played was so important. We need to encourage our people. We don't want to keep a sad situation in our community. And movies, please come out with good roles for African Americans.
Thank you very much, Tesla. Ike, Alec, Byron, we're going to take a one-minute break, and we're going to come back with Ike. Thank you. We're talking about The Butler and all those types of movies.
Thank you.
All right, we're back. You're listening to WPFW 89.3 FM here in Washington, D.C. Garland Nixon and, of course, Mark Levine, and we're talking. We are talking.
We should have seen the butler before we had this discussion, right, though.
So. But I don't think you need to, you know. No? At any rate, we 202-588-0893. We still got a line open. Ike, welcome to WPFW. What are your thoughts on the situation? We've had such brilliant comments. I'm just taken back here. Ike.
My good brothers.
How are Ike? You?
Okay, let's look at the difference with a documentary and a movie. And we have to understand one thing. Is it the truth or is it Memorex? Now, I had an epiphany. What if, remember the movie they did on Petey Green with Don Cheadle and all that? Could you imagine somebody doing a movie on WPFW 89.3 and all you brothers and sisters and volunteers and how this station is on 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. How come if I had the money, I'd finance that.
But I don't think anyone would watch that film except for us.
All right, can you dig it? Even though what WPFW puts out there, and how hard y'all work and what y'all do. I looked at Spike Lee the other day, and he was on Channel 9, and the cat on Channel 9 gave him $20. You understand? Took it out of his wallet and gave white guy gave him $20. Does Spike Lee take anything?
What?
Okay.
Can you pick it?
Yep.
Okay. So when I'm trying to, excuse me. I said I had an epiphany, but I watched and I just sit and I saw Spike. I said, wait a minute, what's Spike Lee doing on Channel 9? He was hustling money to do another movie. All right? And he said he'd take a nickel, dime from anybody, but he gets $10,000 from everybody that wants to sit with him to watch the game at the Knicks. Listen, brother.
I think you're losing me. We don't want to get too far off. No,
we're not getting too far.
We're talking about the butler. We're talking about black movies and not Spike Lee.
Is the movie real? Is it Memorex? Tell me, is it real or is it Memorex?
Thank you very much for that. Thank you. Thanks a lot, Ike. Certainly appreciate it. Next, we're going to. There was some kind of metaphors there that I was lost with. But Byron.
Byron.
Go ahead.
Good evening. WPFW. Good evening.
Hi, Byron.
Good. I just wanted to say that I have not seen The Help and I have not seen The Butler, and I have no intention whatsoever of seeing those movies. A lot of my friends, African Americans, said, let's go see those movies. And I said, I don't see that crap because I know what's going to happen. It'll be a black person who's a knave. Guess what? A black person who's disrespected by white people. Guess what? A black person who's got to stand up and hold down the fort. Guess what? When the credits roll, that black person is still a maid or a butler. And the white folks without the power. Why do I need to see a movie about that? I'd rather watch a documentary based on facts. Not that that isn't those movies, but rather than see some movie about someone black person being mistreated. And of course, there's always the white sympathetic person with a tear in the eye just raises, you know, rises to the occasion. To me, it's a waste of time going to that kind of stuff.
Here's the thing. There's a bunch of movies out there of all kinds of genres where someone begins the movie and they're in a bad position, in a subservient position, not necessarily a racist movie, but just all kinds of things. And then that person, the person that's in the bad situation, rises up, achieves, succeeds. There's a whole bunch of movies like that. And I think that some of these movies are trying to fit into that larger paradigm.
But here's the thing. At the end of the movie,
the guy at the bottom succeeding.
But at the end of the movie, there's still The Help. And what's not brought into out is that
– well, at the end of the movie, the racist gets hurt.
And you know what I think? I think it arises some kind of suppressed anger that I have. You know, the feeling when I hear people – whenever I hear, you know, usually it's like a conservative or something talking about the good old days. And I think to myself, the good old days, you know, Pat Buchanan or something saying we need to go back to the way things were in the 50s or 60s or whatever. And I think – you know, yeah, if you were on, you know, Patty Duke or, you know, Leave It to Beaver or something, yeah, sure. But as far as the black people, you know, they were getting fire hoses squirted on them or getting hung somewhere. It wasn't so jolly for black people. Right. And so I think it doesn't – what happens? It doesn't depict – you know, it shows them in the wealthy white person's house. It doesn't show them going home to well, it does oftentimes in the utter poverty.
It does, and the help it does. It shows the poor black people.
I don't like it. I don't feel comfortable with it. And I believe, as I said, I believe, if you remember, here was a back at the old black exploitation movies of the 70s, when every movie that you saw, the black person was a pimp or a hooker or a drug dealer. And keep in mind something. I just came back from Maine. And to say there aren't many black people in Maine would be an understatement. I think the only one left, and that would be me. Here's what's important. If you are a person who lives in an area where you never really experience interaction with black people, the only thing that you know when your brain, and I'm talking about again how the brain works, when your brain creates these implicit associations. It sees black people and it looks for something to associate with it.
But there
when
are a lot
you
of modern
see
movies.
Black people as a hooker or a pimp or a prostitute or as a thief over and over again, your brain associates that. Well, when you see black people over and over again as a servant or a maid, these are physical associations where when that section of your brain that fires when you hear black people or whatever word it is, there is a physical little river that builds and gets stronger and stronger to this other little spot that fires that says subservient, second class.
Let me ask you this. Do you see those
things? And then we're going to go to Alec because Alec has been waiting.
Do you see those things in movies set in the present? Do you see, because in the present, I see movies, I see TV shows mm-hmm. where the black person is the judge,
yeah,
or the black
whatever,
person
yeah.
is the president of the United States.
Imagine that. Who would ever believe that?
Crazy. I remember, I forgot what movie it was, like 10
Morgan
years
Freeman
before,
was the black
Yeah, Morgan person. Freeman, and they're like, president. Wow, black man's.
But of course, the earth got destroyed, so, well, you know, that. I mean, you know, that.
No, the point is that if you see
it's
movies.
It's almost like, you know, we had it coming or something. I don't know.
Set in the 1990s and later. You see black people, are you the black CEO and so forth? And so, you know, to me, I think it depends when the movie's set. I mean, if I see a movie today and set to the present that the black person's the pimp or the prostitute or whatever, then I got a much more of a problem with it than if it's set. I don't
we're
like
gonna, we're gonna, well, meanwhile, 202-588-0893, we got room. We got a little, a few open lines. Yeah, I wonder, why is it in all those movies where the black person was president, like the world gets destroyed or the country gets blown up by nuclear bombs or something? What's up? There's something going on there.
There are other movies where a white guy's president and the world gets destroyed and blown up by bombs.
Okay, good enough. Alec, welcome to WPFW.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Wonderful.
Hey, Alec.
Really enjoy all your shows, man. Gotta say that.
Thank you.
Yeah, interesting, man. I haven't seen this latest movie out, The Butler. Didn't see The Help either, but let me just throw a couple
Did you see Driving Miss Daisy?
What's that?
Did you see Driving Miss Daisy?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did. And matter of fact, I was going to comment on that because just a couple things for you guys to chew on is I think all of these movies, you got to look at them for one to say there's not one that's going to please everybody because people are so looking for so different things. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
For example, I think, you know, black people, to me, you know, we watch this movie like Driving Miss Daisy. And I don't think I'm watching it to look for something that's historically accurate because I think me and my friends watching be like, man, if that was real, I know he'd be like, one day I'm gonna wreck this car with Miss Daisy in it. I'm about tired of this mess. You know what I mean? And it's not like, you know, oh, just bright, happy job all the time. But that said, I think that it's almost as important, if not more important, for these movies to paint a picture for non-blacks that, you know what, we aren't just angry, ignorant, stupid people in the back with our mouths closed working these jobs. We are intelligent. We do have a soul. We do decent stuff. We're not always just like a knife in our back pocket trying to kill you because I'm driving you around and I'm your chauffeur. I think that, you know, we need to get some value out of these by just what other people can learn about the positive side of black folks, you know? It's not all about just perpetuating this thought of us against them, black people against the world. I think there's some value in some of these movies.
Thank you. That's a very unique perspective. I think we got still have another caller on who's next.
Let me add one element to it before we get to the call.
Then we're going to
and
go
that is, black movies made by black people, right? So you got Tyler Perry movies, right, mm-hmm. where he dresses up as a woman.
Flip Wilson. We're going back to black people, but having to dress up as women.
A lot of black people like Tyler Perry movies.
That's true.
I don't much like them because I think they're broad stereotypes and they're not, for me,
they're not very funny.
I'll tell you who I think keep it real is black comics a lot of times.
Yep.
Comedians are geniuses.
Right. Period. You want to hear reality, listen to a comedian. That's where you're always going to get it.
They're the ones who could kind of keep it real. But then again, you can look at rap, which gives the idea of the gangster, right? I mean, the black. So, you know, if you talk about the 70s where you have blaxploitation and criminals, well, you got black people doing some of that with rap movies.
Yeah, I'm with you. It shows the pathology.
There's a lot more than just movies out there. But go ahead.
Okay, so we got to go to Victor. Victor is going to impart some brilliant knowledge upon us. Welcome to WPFW.
Hi, Victor.
Hey, Garland. Hey, guys. First off, I'd like to say thanks for having me on. I've listened to your show, you know, for a long time. I've called a couple times here and there and given my opinion. And, you know, love your show. It's a really great show.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yes, sir. So I actually agree with the last two callers and with everything you said in between. But I think nowadays what the problem might be is moviegoers. For an example, I haven't seen the movie yet, but I definitely plan to. But with the caller before the last guy, he was saying that a lot of people are going to take it as, oh, you know, this is, you know, we've had it tough and we've been struggling and we're still struggling and da-da-da-da. But I don't think people are, I don't think black people are struggling as much now as they used to based on, you know, what they were fighting for. Now people are struggling because people are looking at them differently. But then again, it goes also with the stereotypes. Like, if I see a black guy in a business suit walking down the road, I'll definitely say hi. But if I see one, you know, a ghetto guy, I'm a little reluctant to say hi just because, unfortunately, the stereotype lives up really well. I used to work at a mall as a security officer, and stereotypes are always the ones that cause the problems. Now, I'm not saying regardless of skin color, you know, and for the moviegoers, depending on, you know, their stereotypes, they're going to react to the movie differently. For an example, I definitely feel that the movie is a good example of the struggles that black people have fought through and how they prevailed. But I feel like a certain moviegoer may be like, oh, man, you know, this is our struggle every day. It's the same thing from then to now when it's not. And I definitely feel it's a moviegoer thing. You know, it's not really going to be based on overall people. It's the certain moviegoer and how they're going to react to what the message is trying to be portrayed. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I definitely agree with a lot of the last comments from the callers as well as you guys that unfortunately it's the stereotypes that are going to, you know, that are causing the hardship.
Thank you very much. I certainly appreciate your call. I got a quick comment to make, and that is here's what something that I picked up. I certainly appreciate him calling and you know, being a part of PFW and this show, because a lot of times, you know, there are people who are uncomfortable, you know, with conversations such as this.
There are a lot of white people that don't want to talk about race. Let's just be very clear.
And particularly among blacks. But not WPFW listeners.
And vice versa.
But not WPFW listeners.
Right. And blacks
listeners.
Who don't want to talk about race among
whites. What's interesting, I think one of the things that I picked up from him and as so many people, that there was a discomfort, or there was a cultural discomfort. And I'll tell you why. Because he said, well, you know, if I run into a, quote, ghetto black person, and I already know what he meant. I already know exactly what he meant, and that it was a black person who was dressed in something that would be
street,
that would be attributed to the black culture, not the African-American culture, the black culture. African-American is generally, for instance, you'll never hear a rapper say, hey, I'm an African-American. No, why? Because generally people who use African-American are middle class or upper class. People who are working poor, who are working class, identify with the black culture. So what he's saying is, when I see people identifying with the black culture, dress a little bit different than I do, maybe talk a little bit different than I do, maybe their hair is a little bit different, I'm scared. I have some anxiety. He may not necessarily feel that they're going to kill him,
let me ask
but
you,
he definitely said, I have some anxiety when I see that people of that.
What if
culture.
You saw people in a white people? They drive up in a bunch of motorcycles. They got long, scraggly hair. They got earrings. They got a bunch of tattoos and jackets. And they look scruffy. Okay, does that make it a little scary to you?
Let me say this: there are
because that's just the way they dress.
Now, keep in mind something.
That doesn't mean they're criminals.
Keep in mind something. What he was referring to the dress, and I'm making some assumptions here, is very broad in the black culture. You know, a lot of black, there's no shortage of black people that wear, you know, things that more would be seen in the black culture than they would in the mainstream culture. Okay. So what he's saying, now look.
Because I'm more nervous with the motorcycle gang than I am.
If
I do a radio show in Anacostia every week,
and
I don't really see anything unusual
if
there.
If I see some guys that have what I would consider that Klansman look, it's going to creep me out. But
well, that's why I gave you the motorcycle gang rather than
keep
the
in mind something. That's, but that's not part of the broad white culture. That is a subculture.
Right.
Where what he was talking about is not a subculture. It's part of the broad black culture. Black people, you know, baggy jeans or whatever, certain things, t-shirts, hair different ways, things like that, that are broad and accepted within the black culture. And there are white people that get anxiety when they see. I know a guy lives in a neighborhood where the house, gated neighborhood, multi-million-dollar houses, you know, $100,000 car, the whole nine yards. The people in his neighborhood think he's a drug dealer
because he's black.
Yeah, he's black, and because
I shouldn't laugh.
He lives in this community. And he's wealthy, and all the people around are wealthy. He drives the finest cars, his wife, etc. But he doesn't come in a suit and tie every day because the business he owns, he doesn't have to. He can wear whatever he wants. So he will wear precisely what our last caller was saying. He might have on baggy shorts.
You know, I'm wearing shorts. I got a T-shirt. Yeah. I'm comfortable.
His hat always dress much nicer
than I do, yeah. Garland.
His hat on backwards, you know, and they're like, holy moly, he's got the ghetto clothes on. I'm scared of him. Well, what he's wearing is well in the broad part of the culture, but they are very, very. There are a lot of people in our society, not just black. Not just white, who are frightened and uncomfortable with the black culture.
But there are people who see Sikhs with the turban on their head, mm-hmm. and they think, "Oh my God, this guy's got a bomb under his turban." When the Sikhs are very peaceful people, and they're not related to anyone who killed us in 9/11. So, but they just don't know. They're ignorant, and they see someone who wears some kind of different dress, or an Indian person with a red dot on their forehead, or whatever the cultural garb is. It's different, it's weird to them, and people are afraid of difference.
Do we have anybody else on the line? I think we might have another caller. Let's take a peep here. Jennifer, welcome to WPFW.
Hi, Jennifer.
Do we have Jennifer? Did we lose Jennifer? I see some flashing.
Do we have Jennifer on the line?
We're checking. No Jennifer.
Did we lose Jennifer?
Jennifer, 202-588-0893.
That's too bad. I want a woman's perspective.
Yes, 202-588-0893.
Call back Jennifer.
202-588-0893. Jennifer, the lines are open right now, and we are looking for you, Jennifer. And if you call back, we will
give you priority.
We'll put you right. Yeah, you move to the front of the line, right to the front of the line.
Absolutely.
You know, the thing about these kind of conversations that I like, Mark, because I love philosophy, is that there are no answers and that every answer creates another question. Do we have another caller? We've got Walter. Walter, welcome to WPFW.
Hi, good evening, and thanks for taking my call.
Hi, thank you, Walter.
And I love the show. I listen every week, and I'd like to say something real quick. When you talked about, like, a Sikh and people looking at him in a turban, this guy could be looked at as an engineer or a professional person who just might have a bomb in people's eyes. When you talk about a black person, it's automatically a thug. So there's a difference.
Well, thinking somebody's a terrorist and thinking someone's a thug, they're both pretty bad stereotypes.
Yeah, but they're very
for
different. They're
people.
Very different because when you talk about hiring people, when you talk about
you're not going to hire a terrorist or a thug.
Yeah, well, that's the problem because you see certain things and you see a thug.
Well, that is the problem, right?
Yeah, you know.
I just don't think that. Anyway, go ahead, call Walter.
But when you see the guy with the turban on his head, you wouldn't eliminate him from being an engineer or whatever.
I wouldn't, but I'm not fazed by it.
If you saw, for example, I'm a professional person, and I really, when I'm comfortable not at work, I may wear sweatpants or whatever just to be comfortable.
Sure.
People still see me as a black man with all the stereotypes that go along with it.
You know, I want to, there are all kinds of white people in this world. I don't think there are definitely white people that see black people and think thug and think all those things. And there's a lot of white people today that don't. I see a guy in sweatpants,
My point earlier, Mark, was that, remember, you're talking about the high road from the brain. You're talking about the conscious. You're talking about the things that we are aware of. We make decisions based on certain things that we are aware of. I think we're talking about the low road. We're talking about the subconscious of the mind.
We're also about different people.
Right. So the decisions that we make based on our brain in tenths, the hundredths of a second, making implicit associations between one thing and another. And that's the problem, because we're not even aware of those associations. And when it comes time for promotion or for hiring or for so many other things, these associations are made, and they are not rational.
Yeah, people make
whatsoever.
Associations about men and women all the time. They see a woman in power, and she's very strong, and they use harsh language against her, whereas a man would just be assertive.
Well, we got Greg. Greg's going to be assertive. Greg, welcome to WPFW.
Hey, how's it going?
Great.
I got something for you. One of those old movies when you were talking about the black and white and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
The black person often played the role of, even though they were subservient, they were the muse. They were the voice of reason oftentimes in a lot of those old movies. And so you can't discount, like, call about three callers back. There's certain movies you have to watch. You have to kind of like pick them apart and don't let your gut react. Kind of like watch and evaluate. Mm-hmm. Even The Help. I saw The Help. I'm sick of seeing, you know, like, even if you saw the apartheid movies, it's always based on the white character being the hero. Same thing with The Help. But you will find that there were some pretty important nuggets in there about how the black folks were handling things under that situation.
Thanks a lot. Camilla.
I think the black people were heroes in The Help, too. Some of the one that baked that special cake.
They were subservient, though, when it comes down to it. Camilla, welcome to WPFW.
Thank you. I just wanted to comment, because I've been in and out of the conversation, but I really enjoyed the conversation. But I just wanted to comment on the butler, because you were talking earlier about you know, your daughter and seeing, like, these images or how black people have gone through certain things. And I just wanted to talk from the perspective of being, like, a young black woman and watching this movie. And I really thought there were some really powerful messages in it, and there's only so much you can get into a movie. But it really helped me understand the struggles that my grandparents had to go through and how we've, like, really evolved as a people and still pressed on for what we wanted and our civil rights and everything from generation to generation. And even, like, it dealt with, like, real issues, like, in the black family that, like, other families have, too. So I think it was a very powerful message to relate to. So, I mean, I just want to share that from the perspective of someone who's seen the movie.
Thank you,
Camilla.
I'm glad we got a young person. You know, I like that. We got a young person. We're getting such broad perspectives. And all of them, you know, the thing about it I say is this. I'm not trying to project my opinion onto other people and create clones. I like a diversity of opinion, and I know that my opinion is based on who and what I am, and I know it's not always right. In fact, for things like this that are emotional, there's not a right or wrong. People are going to see it, and they're going to feel the way they're going to feel.
These things have a lot of elements to them, right? I mean, you know, there's history, there's perception, there's who's going to see it, there's what time it's set in, there's who did the movie, where came from. I think if a black person wrote the script, you feel differently than if a white person wrote the script. There's a lot to untangle
here. And then
there's
me standing around talking about how the brain works and, you know, what happens when this information passes through the old amygdala. Let's go to Katrina. Katrina doesn't want to talk about amygdalas right now.
Hi, Katrina. How are you?
Or prefrontal cortex, as I presume.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Yes, it was a great movie, but I wanted to make a comment about the terminology black versus African-American.
Mm-hmm.
I am from a upper middle class family. Most of the people I know are in that classification, as well as many classmates I went to school with.
Mm-hmm.
So I do not consider myself African-American. I call myself black, and most of the people that I know call themselves black.
Mm-hmm.
So you made a comment was made earlier about the people or black people who use that term and identify themselves as black are from a lower economic ratio or class. I think that was completely false.
Not exclusively.
Not correct at all. So, I mean, and then another thing I wanted to say is if that terminology was such a disgraceful, we were not no longer owning it, then we would certainly be changing the term or the acronym HBCU and removing the word black out of historical.
Katrina,
black
can I ask you a question? I'm just curious.
I totally disagree with
why?
That. Black is beautiful. It comes in many different shades, and I don't see it as a negative term.
I love the term black, too. I'm just curious. Why do you feel personally that the term black is better than the term African-American for you?
Because I was born and raised here in the United States, not in Africa. I don't see other ethnic groups calling themselves Hispanic American or European American, because really everyone over here came here from somewhere else. The only people who are actually native of here would be Indians.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, yeah. I reject that. It's a new terminology.
That's a good point. Yep.
And it's also a terminology to get away from reality of being black.
Yeah, now let me say this about that, because, boy, that would be a whole show.
Yeah, we should do a show.
But I didn't mean exclusively, well, if you make over, you know, $100,000, you call yourself. But no, people such as our last caller determine often what culture they're going to identify. Me? I say black all the time. I say
you don't say African American
no,
either.
No. I say black, not African American.
Well,
Keep in mind,
you don't fit your own stereotype.
Because, no,
you just said
because,
lower class.
No,
black.
No. I didn't say exclusively.
Okay.
You can choose. I choose to identify with the black culture. Remember, in America, I'll make this quick. In America, white people are generally identified through ethnicity. I'm Irish American. I'm blah blah blah. I'm Italian.
They don't even say Irish.
Black
American.
People
they say Irish or Italian.
Are identified by race. And for instance, a person may be Jamaican, Kenyan, they may be from Ghana, or me, I'm from America, and they'll say they're all black people. Well, I don't know any more about their culture than I do about the Italian culture. The fact of the matter is that my culture in America is the black American culture is unique. It arose from the history of slavery. And it was created years after that, and it is unique within America. The black I'm saying is with a capital B, the black culture in America. And there are some black people who aren't as comfortable with that for obvious reason. African American is saying, I'm going to identify myself through ethnicity, and it kind of ignores slavery. It kind of says African American was before slavery, so I'm going to identify myself.
Barack Obama is not a descendant of slaves.
Right, he's an African American.
But he's not a descendant of slaves.
Right, he is an African American ethnically speaking.
Far more.